broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use. Nut Out continues now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the broadcast for December the 11th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour two at two. And the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Kurt's got a piece we're playing between Mark Levin and Sean Hannity. And Mark Levin is going off on all the criminal activity by the Bidens and by the Clintons and the history of it and all that kind of stuff. And I happen to agree with Mark Levin completely. And we are live and on the air reporting on all this as it unfolded, ladies and gentlemen. So we're very familiar with it. Big time, right? But I don't know what to do with it all. What do I mean by that? Mark's right, but we haven't done anything about it in the past. The Republicans have had control of the House, the Senate, the White House, the courts, and we haven't done anything about the criminal activity at all. We've just talked about it in a few media places, documented it very well, but nothing from accountability has happened. Thus, Joe Biden should be in prison, not running for office. Why are we debating his fraudulent activity running for office? We shouldn't be debating that. He should be in prison. But, of course, we don't take care of something, action on criminal activity. We allow it to get above us, and then we're mad when it's above us, right? I don't get it. But here's Mark Levin as it continues. Sean had to stop the Mark Levin roller coaster and say, wait, hold on, we only got a minute and a half left. I got to ask you a question. Here's Sean.
I want you to just comment briefly on these 17 attorney generals, these seven states now that want to join this Texas lawsuit. Quick 1 minute.
The United States Supreme Court has done a grave disservice to this country. About 5 weeks ago...
Amen. I've said that they've done such a great disservice that they ought to all be impeached. So has Sidney Powell. But again, if you don't take any action, you just complain about them and go, golly, they did us wrong. Golly, they really did us wrong. Golly, we reported over the years they've done us wrong. Golly, they're criminals. Golly, they're bad guys. My goodness, horrible. But yet Republicans have put how many on the court? Okay, this is the swamp versus the people issue. Unless we start arresting thugs, criminals, we're not going to stop their criminal activity. You got it?
It was a case brought by Pennsylvania that the governor there, that the secretary of state there, and the state Supreme Court, which is rogue, like the Florida court was in 2020, violated Article 2 of the Constitution, which says the legislature makes election law. 4-4, John Roberts, who's gone Hollywood, who's jumped the shark, decided that they weren't going to take up the case. Pennsylvania, they come back, and they say, okay, well, look, the state legislature violated their own constitution. Then the state Supreme Court, on top of it, violated it as well. You're poisoning all these electors that are going to the Electoral College. What do you want to do? 18-word order that tells the American people nothing. They shut it down. The states go, what the hell's going on here? The states that follow the law, the states that didn't weaken the signature requirements, the states that didn't extend the voting periods, the states that care about the rule of law and the sanctity of the vote. They're suing these four states and they're saying, okay, Supreme Court, now we want you to address the institutionalized fraud and crookedness that the Democrats put in place in these various states. Now what are you going to do, Supreme Court? You've already undermined your reputation. Now, are you going to undermine your integrity as well? We're about to find out.
Yes, we are. And there he goes. And I agree with Mark. Kurt?
Very good, Sam. Thank you.
All right. You have any more to comment on it?
Not that I can say, Sam.
All right. But I mean, the problem that I have is he's taking the Republican side is that the Republicans are the good guys. The Democrats are doing all this harm to the country. But I submit to you that it's Republicans and Democrats, Kurt. That's the part that Mark and Sean don't get.
Well, I will, politely try to disagree with you, Sam, about that, at least that I've heard him say many times. For example, Sean is what he calls a registered conservative in New York. You can register as a conservative and not a Republican. And he talks about the Republicans in much the same way as our friend from the Homeschool Legal Defense Association would call him. He'd call him the stupid party sometimes, but he'd, you know, point out the fact that there's certain ones, especially like Mitt Romney and many others, who are very less than helpful. And I've heard Mark Levin do the same thing many times. And yet, I think he tries to point out certain ones that are doing a good job, kind of like we do. But that's just my opinion, Sam.
Oh, hey, you got a right opinion. You're entitled to your opinion. And that's why Kurt wants to bring this to your attention. And I think that everything Mark Levin said right there, with a few exceptions, I agree with Mark. The exceptions, in my opinion, are that we need to be as honest about the Republican abuses and criminal activity as the Democrats. That's one point. And then secondly, I'm a little bit concerned when we promote the Jewish agenda in America. I want a Christian agenda, and I'm not interested in being mean to the Jews or unkind to anyone, but I want to make sure we lead with the right foot. I support the peace efforts. If they're genuine, time will tell. I support President Trump when he does things right. I support Mark Levin and Sean Hannity when they do things right. And I think it was a great piece that he's articulating, and I appreciate at least somebody doing it, the history of what's been going on. But I still maintain, unless we, and this is a question that I think Sean should have asked Mark, and that they should discuss, what are we going to do about it? And I appreciate that Hillary's a criminal, that Bill's a criminal, that Joe's a criminal, that Hunter's a criminal. I appreciate all that, and I agree. But are we just going to let criminals just run around on the streets? Is this president going to allow that? Is this Republican-controlled Supreme Court going to allow that? Are these Republican-controlled Senate? Well, we have limited control of the Senate. Might not last too long. We might lose that, too. Are they going to do something about it? Are the sheriffs and in majority Republican state-led governors? We have more Republican state governors than Democrat right now. Are we going to do anything about this criminal activity? Or are we just going to go, golly, that's bad? So, I don't mean to be offensive, Kurt, but look, I'm warning you right now, not Kurt Crosby, but you as a nation, we as a people, whatever you want to say, I'm warning us that if we allow this to continue and just complain about it, and we don't use the law to uphold the law, okay, then it's just going to get worse, Kurt. Is that a reasonable assumption, you think?
It's got a track record.
So, you know what? I don't know what we can do. I don't know what we can do more about it. And I don't mean to just be negative on this, but I want answers. I want us to do something. And the sad part is people are critical of Ammon Bundy and others that are starting to ratchet it up, and they're starting to protest in places. They're starting to speak out and say, we got to stop this. Because as Ammon Bundy says, other than that, what are we to do? Do we just let it happen on our watch, Kurt, and say we can't do anything? What have I done about it? Well, we created a media network 25 plus years ago, and we've been doing our best to tell the tale ever since. I wish we could do more. I wish our voice was bigger. I am part of Ammon Bundy's group, the Citizens Group. We bring all the people to the round table we possibly can who can move the needle on this to the best of our ability. I just don't know how to do more. But I feel really bad when we just highlight how criminal these people are and nothing gets done. I wish there was much, much more we could do. But I don't see it. I just don't know what more we can. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't know how to move the needle towards liberty and stop these criminals. They're certainly above us to the point where it's a serious problem indeed, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Kurt, you got a story. You want to talk about an Amazon driver?
Let's see. I'll try to find that, Sam. That was in that second batch. Let me see if I can find it here.
Yeah, while you're hunting that down, Greg from Utah would like to make a few comments. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Sam. How you doing?
Good, sir.
How you doing? Anyway, I'm listening to your comments. What can we do? And not to be a pessimist, but the secret combinations have absolute control of our federal government. They have control and influence in all of our state governments. The courts are corrupt. The government, the federal government's corrupt. All the states are corrupt to some extent. And so, I mean, how, there's not much we can do. I mean, we're in a minority. We have to push back. We have to fight back and do what's best. We have an obligation to fight against tyranny and oppression. It's a commandment of the Lord. And so despite the odds against us, and they are overwhelming, to say the least, we will prevail in the end. There's going to be a, we're going to lose a lot of battles, but in the end, we win the war, so to speak. So it's discouraging. I mean, we're in a period of history where where it has been prophesied in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon and what have you, and so we're experiencing these prophecies that have been alluded to in these doctrines. So it's discouraging, and sometimes I can't say I get depressed, but it bothers me greatly. But what you guys are doing is awesome. You know, trying to enlighten the people. We have to educate the people. We have to enlighten the people, and they have to take the initiative to fight back. Even though it doesn't appear to be, appear to be too successful based on what we're doing. But in the end, we're going to prevail, and so we have to be aware of that and do our best to educate others and enlighten others. And with people like yourself and Kurt and your radio program, it's an awesome program. And
all right, hang tight. Stay there, Greg. I want to give you more time. Hold on. Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, live on your radio, Greg from Utah breaking it down. You are finishing, Greg. Let's have you finish and then Kurt will respond.
Okay, so concerning the Constitution, and I've done research on this, almost every provision of the Constitution has been violated with impunity, especially the Ten Amendments. And I've been also doing research on these combinations. And based on my research, these secret combinations, and the granddaddy of all secret combinations is communism. There's numerous combinations. You got the CFR, the Bilderberger Group, and what have you. But the granddaddy of all combinations is communism. And they have been infiltrating our government for over 100 years. And so look at our situation. Our foreign policy, especially since the 1930s, has been an unmitigated disaster. We haven't done anything right. our government has been doing everything within its power to advance and promote communism. Our domestic policy is purely socialistic, and this is all by design. It's not by accident, and people have to wake up to this, and we have to proclaim the Constitution and proclaim liberty and Christianity throughout the world. And Christianity is under assault, especially in the Middle East, and they're being saints. Christians are being martyred, and in this country, you know, it's against the law in some states to preach the Bible on the corner, any particular corner. Preachers are being arrested, and this is happening in America. So I feel it's going to get worse, but we have to be aware of what's going on and enlighten people, and we have to push back. We just can't sit on the fence. We have to fight back, and there are movements now in Newtown, and people are pushing back. They're pushing back on the mask agenda. The governor has been sued, and some public health officials have been sued recently, and people are gathering at rallies. They're not wearing masks. So there is some opposition in this state. I'm hoping that this state can be a beacon of light.
Yeah, let's have Kurt respond, Greg. I think you're right, and I think I've seen more people push back in the last 5 years than I've seen in the whole 25 we've been at this. So I think that's good news. And I want to focus a little bit on what we've been doing about it, because I think there's many components in the solution. Kurt, you want to start?
Well, I don't know. I think it's probably better if you go ahead and go, Sam.
Go ahead, Kurt.
I don't know what else to add here. I mean,
well, you got a caller on the line. You should respond to this caller.
Okay. You know, if I were going to respond, at least the first question I'd like to ask Greg is, he says, we're going to win in the end. When is the end?
Well, that's a good question, Kurt. We don't know exactly when. But, I mean, if this thing's going to prolong for, I think, you know, maybe 7-8 years, whatever it might be, and we're going to see more totalitarian controls or initiatives from our government. And but in the end, we know the second coming is not far away. We know the Savior will come here. So when I talk about the end, I'm talking about when he comes. And when he comes, all these secret combinations and wickedness, these people that are wicked, will be destroyed. So we will prevail in that sense, but the Lord's not going to help us unless we fight. He's not going to fight our battles. He's not going to help us unless we get involved and expose these combinations.
But I want to add to that, Greg. I want to add to that to be very clear. Not only do we have to be involved in stopping the seek for power, we got to pull it down, anxiously engaged in a good cause, if you will, actively involved in the proper role of government. We've got to do all those things. I accept that. But we've also got to be a moral people. We've got to repent and turn to God. We've got to do what he asks us to do if we want him to grant us his blessings. That's what he told us the key is. Kurt, what is it? In 2 Chronicles, it highlights this very well.
Yeah, well, Sam,
I don't know for sure, Sam.
Well, here's the thing, and I agree with Sam totally, that, you know, basically the immorality in this country is pervasive. The immorality in this nation is worse than it was during Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It's bad. But you have righteous people living in America, moral people living in America. We have remnants of people who believe in the gospel and believe in Jesus the Christ. And because of that, this nation will be saved. And if it wasn't for people like Sam and Kurt and these wonderful patriots who exist in this state and throughout the nation, and the people who are fighting against tyranny and oppression, this nation would be destroyed. So now that there's hope because there are righteous people, they have a desire to do what is right and to fight back and expose these combinations and what have you. And if it was not for that, the Lord would, I think, would be subjected to his wrath. But because of the nature of the people, a small remnant of the people, the Lord's going to help us. And eventually we will prevail, but it's going to be a tiring process, an enduring process. It's not going to be easy, but we have to do what is right. And the odds against us are overwhelming. But if we repent of our sins, and that includes our political sins, and we turn to God, the Lord will help us. And I'm absolutely convinced of that, that we're going to win in the end. And that, and I sometimes get a little discouraged the way things are going, but we have to have hope. We have to persevere and do what is right.
Very good. You know, one other question for you, Greg. You and I have talked about a friend of ours, you know, and he's pretty famous for letting us know exactly the time and place when certain events will happen in the future. And yet those days and times have passed each time, and yet, you know, he continues to point out that the next one will really happen right there. I don't know for sure when Jesus is going to come back. I do know that we're told that the Constitution will hang by a thread. I don't know how you get it to more hang by a thread than it is now. I do believe, like I've you know, been able to read, that good people will step forward to save the Constitution, and that America is a blessed land unto the righteous forever, is a base from which God is going to continue to direct the worldwide operations of his kingdom, that God raised up the founding fathers of the United States of America and established this inspired Constitution. So those are you know, a lot of my thoughts. I, you know, will throw in my Zig Ziglar stuff that you guys probably hate to hear, and that is, you know, when it comes to this whole being negative about stuff, Zig would say, well, you know, you guys that want to say, well, I'm a realist, he said, well, that's just basically an excuse for being negative. In my opinion, you don't really move things forward by being negative about what's going on, unless, you know, you basically just be of good cheer, like the Savior said, and work on the problem. I think you, in whoever it is, me, Sam, you, whatever, we weaken our effort by being negative about things, and then you know, good people that might join us feel like, well, there's really no hope. I mean, like earlier Sam said, hey, in 2050, you see how bad it is now, wait till 2050 and see how it is then. I think that kind of talk basically
leaves 90% of
what
I
know, but
said.
You're not gonna let me finish, right?
I'm just telling you, you're leaving the core,
you know,
of what I really said, though.
Of course. I'm just telling you, Sam, this is the way I see it, okay?
Okay.
Now, I know it's going to disagree with what you say because, you know, you say your way is the right way, you know. I'm simply telling you that the way I see it is that when we do that kind of talk, it basically dissuades people from ever joining us or strengthening our efforts, because they're like, what hope is there if Sam says there's no hope? And we've got all these evidences that Sam can cite chapter and verse on of all these failures we've had in the past. We're never really going to make a difference, so we might as well go ahead and crawl into a hole and just wait for the Savior's return. That's the way I see that, and that's why I recommend a cause and a movement against that. Go ahead, Sam.
So I never said there was no hope. That's where I think that you're missing the boat. I said there, what will it be like in 2035 if we don't repent to God and we don't take action to stop the secret combinations above us? We don't get enough involved in the media to really tell the tale and educate people. If we don't do these things, that is the future. All right. Now, if we do the right things, and then I pointed to a scripture, which you probably have never heard of, I guess, because I asked you about it and you said you didn't know anything about it. But it's in Chronicles. Okay?
I didn't say I didn't know anything about it. I said I can't recite it right now, you know.
Okay, it's in the Bible. It's in Chronicles. I'll tell you where it is in the details. And I'll tell you what the solution is.
Your date. Yo.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
More calls from Washington leaders for Democrat Congressman Eric Swalwell to step down after a year-long investigation reveals his ties to a suspected spy from the Chinese Communist Party. New York Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik on Fox.
What is truly disturbing and very sad irony, Eric Swalwell was the perpetrator of these baseless accusations and the phony Russia hoax. He owes his colleagues answers, he owes his constituents answers, and he should step down from the House Intelligence Committee.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi defended her decision to appoint Swalwell and will keep him on the Intelligence Committee. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton's case argues that the swing states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia unconstitutionally violated state election laws and therefore should not certify their election results to the U.S. House. One-third of all U.S. states and over 100 congressional leaders signed on to the challenge heading to the U.S. Supreme Court. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I've been taking vitamins off and on my whole adult life, and I've never seen any change, not like this, not since I've been on Balance of Nature. I used to take prescription medication for muscle aches and stuff. I don't take that anymore. I wish I'd have started it back when I first heard about it on the radio. And if I can give Balance of Nature any advice, keep it out on the radio, because I still hear these commercials from time to time, and I'm thinking, you know, you people need to listen up. I mean, I'm over 50. And, you know, your body starts wearing down. But Balance of Nature has literally changed my life. It really has.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Let's get a stimulus update with USA Radio News' Tim Berg.
As coronavirus relief seems to have hit a standstill, House Republicans have a message for Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi.
We stand together calling on this body, calling on Speaker Nancy Pelosi to stop sitting on her hands, to stop sitting in front of a refrigerator with the expensive ice cream, and to help the American people today.
Republican Congressman Liz Cheney of Wyoming speaking on Capitol Hill Thursday. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
President Trump signed the first stimulus package into law on March 27, 2020, costing taxpayers $2.2 trillion. The LA Rams easily beat the New England Patriots on Thursday Night Football. Final score was 24-3. Patriots quarterback Cam Newton was pulled from the game in the fourth quarter.
You know, we didn't play a good style or brand of football tonight, and they did. And
for USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
All right, let's be very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen. These are not my solutions. Chronicles in the Bible came out thousands of years before I even hit the planet, okay? So the solution I'm proposing is not mine. It's not my way. My way is the right way. That's not it. I'm merely quoting the solution. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. We've been over this many times. Here's what it says. 14, if, that's a big if, ladies and gentlemen. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, you got to be intelligent enough to say, if that's true, if I do these things, God will bless me. But what if I don't do those things? What'll happen? Kurt, you want to respond to that? We've seen civilizations We've seen civilizations before that have not, let's get the exact wording here, be called by his name, first of all. That's a big prerequisite. If we're not willing to be called by his name, if we're not willing to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, then the opposite will happen. What's the opposite? Okay, if we don't turn from our wicked ways, if we persist in our wicked ways, what's the opposite of hearing from heaven? Not hearing from heaven? What's the opposite of forgiving our sin? Not forgiving our sin? What's the opposite of not healing our, or of healing our land? Not healing our land? Okay, this isn't me making this up, ladies and gentlemen. And this isn't me telling you that we failed, stick a fork in it, we're done. This is me trying to tell you we're in a world of hurt, folks, and to pretend we're not is foolish. We're in perilous times. However, I'm pointing out to the best of my ability the solutions through history that our founding fathers articulated and the Bible articulates. I'm trying to go to those guidance solutions that I believe are sound and solid. I'm doing my best to do that. Obviously, I'm not doing a very good job at it, but that's really my attempt. Greg, finish up quickly, then we'll let you go. We got another call or two. You there, Greg? All right, we lost Greg, I guess. Okay, who's next?
Oh, this is Dean.
Hi, Dean. You're up, sir.
Yeah. Being discouraged, I'm probably one of the best persons to be discouraged. I've been discouraged for 25-something years trying to get a point across and lost, you know, basically family and friends over this because of me just not giving up and just succumbing to the forces and saying, you know, you don't have this right and you don't have that right, and just be quiet and go up in the hills and, you know, live by yourself. But I've come to realize that there is a God up there, and no matter how softly he speaks and where you try to plan out something, his plans seem to be totally different in my circumstances. I've looked into this, you know, the Constitution hanging by the thread, and I think that's kind of a misnomer. I've never been able to find it. I found some hints where one of Joseph Smith's scribes, when he was giving a speech, had wrote something down to that effect. But when I got looking into the Council of 50 that he was trying to establish, he was basically giving up on the Constitution. And that's why they were instructed to hide it or burn it. And then he says to burn it, but the person buried it and then dug it back up. And after he died, they've met. In fact, they've kept meeting till 1988. And they were trying to decide on a constitution, but they could never write one up. Never felt inspired. And I can't remember. I think it was Brigham Young that became the successor of that. The head of that Council of 50 decided that it was not to be written and God would be the lawgiver. And so I find this pretty interesting on them giving up. In fact, there's lots of letters and stuff about from all these other members where it was all supposed to be pretty much secret, and to disavow any knowledge of their actions. Because like in Porter's letter, he had vengeance to going after these people for the wrongs that was done by the government. So, and this is what I feel to do is to kind of work together, assemble people, and to kind of not take up arms and thinking the Republicans are going to save us, but to just kind of branch off in a way without branching off and not participating in the government as much as you can, and everybody working together as far as just as a society and neighbors and friends and helping each other out.
Amen. And all also, right, we appreciate it, Dean. Kurt, any comment?
That's good counsel. Thank you, Dean.
Thanks, Dean. All right, there he goes. Kurt wants to talk about a great effort by, what, an Amazon employee, Kurt?
Well, in this case, it was an Amazon employee that, the headline reads, driver runs into burning home to save life of elderly man trapped inside. I'm not a big fan of Amazon typically, mostly because of Jeff Bezos and the you know, the efforts that he makes basically through his Washington Post news piece. But I'm not telling you that all Amazon people are evil. I talked to a nice Amazon lady yesterday and wished her a Merry Christmas. And then this story, Amanda Thomason from the Western Journal says, well, Tim West of New Smyrna Beach, Florida, almost lost his parents, his house, and his dog while he was out. But his neighbors and even a random delivery man in the area weren't about to let that happen. The Amazon deliverer Sean Campbell was doing his rounds in the Century Woods subdivision when he heard screaming in the distance. He said, I heard the screaming, and when you hear something like that, you have to go to it, he told WESH-TV. Without a second thought, he dropped the packages he was carrying and raced to the source of the screams. When he got there, he saw a house on fire. An elderly woman had been escorted from the home, but when Campbell got there, an elderly man was still trapped inside, apparently unaware of the blaze steadily consuming the home. Campbell entered the house and saw the elderly gentleman in the kitchen. He was in the kitchen just, you know, with his walker just standing there. Campbell explained, I don't think he truly knew what was going on, so I was like, sir, come on, I need to help you. Come on, let's get out. He was trying to grab his walker and cane, and I'm like, no, we got to move. You've got to see another day. When firefighters arrived, they were able to rescue the family dog as well. The house was badly damaged, but not destroyed, and the family will be staying with a relative who lives nearby while the home is repaired. Campbell was glad to be of assistance, and West is aware that Campbell and others who risked harm to save his family are heroes. Thankful that I got the people inside out, Campbell said. It was fantastic that he was both here and able to go inside and brave enough to go inside. We really appreciate that. Amazon has also given Campbell a nod, so this is a kind of a hat tip to Amazon. And company spokeswoman Deborah Bass said Amazon is just as proud of its driver. We love hearing stories about drivers being everyday heroes for our customers and the communities they serve. Everyone at Amazon was touched by Sean going above and beyond to help someone in need, and we're excited to celebrate and thank him for his great efforts. So, just a little good news story.
Hey, man, college students are next.
Very good, Sam. Yeah, some college students are actually trying to get COVID, according to the WorldNet Daily folks in their Brave New School section. Subheadline reads, Money for Plasma Donations and a Chance to Avoid On-Campus Quarantine. I guess bottom line is, you know, your blood's worth more, or your plasma, I guess is how you call it, if you've had COVID. So, you know, that's one of the reasons, I guess, they say they're trying to get it. And then I guess, I don't know, something else that they're able to do if they do have it, that they don't have to quarantine, or if they've had it or something like that. They don't have to do, they wouldn't be subject to the state-mandated quarantine that currently covers 31 what they call hot states. So anyway, you know, in my
opinion, they're just saying the sooner they get the cocoa, the better off they are, because they'll develop immunities and they can get more for their plasma.
That's correct.
Is that positive or negative, Kurt?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, moving to Texas, Kurt.
Well, yeah, the headline here says, "Company." It's from WorldNet Daily, by the way. Says, company that kickstarted Silicon Valley moving to Texas. Subheadline, decision confirmed by SEC filing. Are you familiar with what company they say would kickstart Silicon Valley?
I'll tell you who kickstarted Silicon Valley, though, is the Pentagon and deep black money from the military and the university.
Very good.
That's who started Silicon Valley, Kurt.
They say that Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, or HPE, the California firm that literally kickstarted Silicon Valley in a garage in 1939, is moving to Texas. The low-key announcement was made via an SEC filing on the 1st of December. If California's anti-jobs policies, its high taxes, capricious regulatory enforcement, and blackout-inducing energy policy can chase out the company that launched Silicon Valley, is any business, large or small, immune from pressure to move? I think they've got a good point, Sam.
They have a great point. Elon Musk is moving too, Kurt.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised.
I'm not. I hope we get more of it. I hope there's a mass exodus from California that they just completely melt down, Kurt.
Well, they need
because
some,
there's only one answer.
Something to wake them up.
What's the answer for them, Kurt, do you think?
Freedom.
Yeah, the answer is ultimately freedom. I agree. It lacks how to get there, that one word, but I'm with you.
Well, you know, if... sorry, I didn't know if you wanted me to talk much, but, you know, they've got to return to God, repent, do those things that have to happen to have God's blessings.
What if they keep doing what they're doing? Are you predicting good for California?
No.
Okay. Just want to make that very clear, folks. Right? CDC in the news, Kurt.
All right, let's see. CDC must be up on the page from where we were.
Headline says CDC
straight in front of me.
Reports number of abortions has dropped 57% since the peak in 1990. The trend has been a consistent decline. I call that good news, Kurt. I wish we had more of it, but it's a start.
Yeah, that's a good point, Sam. And that's a WorldNet Daily piece. Those folks are trying to stand up and protect life. That is good news.
Yeah, have you seen the movie Unplanned, Kurt?
No, I haven't, Sam.
Anyway, I saw that the other day. Very good movie. It's a pretty ripping movie, though. I mean, it's hardcore in some of the depictions. It's a documentary really about her life, Abby Johnson, and it's very riveting. She was pro-death, pro-abortion without really understanding the consequences of the reality of things, and it really chronicles her experiences with abortion personally, the abortions that she committed, and her change to pro-life, and the kindness and the love the pro-lifers showed her, even when she was a pro-death administrator, if you will, for Planned Parenthood. They were kind to her and loved her, and when she was mortified with the abuse of abortion and the murder taking place, and she saw it for what it really was, then she went to the pro-life people that were so kind to her. And it's a real story of, in my opinion, rescue. And anyway, in my opinion, very good. Very worth watching. But I'm delighted to hear from the CDC that the number of abortions have dropped 57% since the peak in the 90s or in 1990, and it's going down, and I pray we can continue that trend. And that really highlights what Mike Lee says on our program, Kurt, that soundbite that I created. It really highlights what he says is with greater imaging and the efforts of people everywhere, we're making a difference. People are learning the truth. Now, if we just had the Republican Supreme Court to get something done, we could even move the needle further. Would have a much greater chance while Trump's in office. So we've got only a few days left, Don Kurt. Or maybe we got a long time left. I don't know. But I would act like we only have a few days left if I were on the Supreme Court, Kurt. Think they'll double down in a defense of pro-life, Kurt, while they have the chance?
I know they've done some recent things on it. It seemed like we reported that just a little while back.
Yeah, and those things are wonderful.
I don't know. Yeah.
I can hope, though, Kurt. I know you don't know, but I can sure hope.
Yes.
What was that phrase you like to use, Kurt? You got the tartar sauce? Are you going to the Supreme Court with the tartar sauce? I sure wish you would. Because we need it. All right, Megyn Kelly. I guess she's fed up. Pulls her kids out of the New York schools. For one reason only, Kurt. What is that?
Well, this is a Western Journal piece, commentary from Samantha Chang, and she's talking about the podcaster Megyn Kelly, who now, if you don't remember who she is, ladies and gentlemen, this lady had a pretty big shot program on Fox, and you know, and then she went up against the president in the early part. I think that was in the 2016 election thing, and anyway, she's kind of gone away in many ways from the big media. But now she's, they say she's pulled her two sons out of their posh New York City private school after the school circulated a race-baiting letter that smeared white students as potential killer cops. I guess they'd be cop killers. But anyway, Kelly said the alarming letter, which nakedly pushed white guilt in an attempt to indoctrinate children, was a bridge too far. According to the former NBC News star, and I would say Fox star as well, says she now plans to leave New York City because she can no longer tolerate the far-left agenda that pervades the flailing Democrat-controlled city. It's so out of control on so many levels, she said on an episode of her podcast. And after years of resisting it, we're going to leave the city. We pulled our boys from their school, and our daughter's going to leave hers soon, too. Just some more folks heading out of basically the socialist zones, I guess, Sam.
Yeah. You know, again, I'm not sure if that's negative or positive, though, you know. Getting all fed up, pulling your kids out of school and stuff like that. Think your kids will be normal if she does that, Kurt?
What's normal?
I don't know. You tell me. You know, they've been saying for decades, if you take your kids out of the government schools, they won't be normal, Kurt. Now Megyn Kelly's gone to the dark side doing podcasts. And what is she doing, homeschooling, or is she putting her kids in a private school? I commend her, by the way.
They were on private school, apparently, but I don't know what they'll do in the future.
Yeah. I was just wondering if they told us in that thing, you know. But all I can tell you is, hey, I don't blame her for pulling her kids out of school. I get it, and I understand. And, I'm pretty supportive of private school. I'm pretty supportive of homeschool. I'm pretty supportive of a lot of options. I'm just not supportive of the government schools. All right, Mom doing a good job, Kurt. Mom pays for multiple strangers' groceries on a whim. She says, I just wanted to bring smiles to people's faces.
Very good. This is by Judy Cole, C-O-L-E, and from the goodnewsnetwork.org. The WorldNet Daily guys brought it to us, but says comfort food is something everyone can appreciate more than simply sustenance for our bodies. Comfort food nourishes the soul and spirit. Now one New Hampshire woman is taking the concept to a new level, supplying comfort groceries and random acts of kindness to her neighbors. Even though, and they talk about the pandemic, whereas brought stress and food anxiety to tables, they say food anxiety, to tables where it's never been felt before. But it's also heightened the opportunity, they say, to be able to give back in ways that are immediate and meaningful. After a generous community turnout that included gifts and a drive-by parade turned her son Thomas's 7th birthday celebration from doubtful to epic, Brandy Bison, or Bisson, B-I-S-S-O-N, took a notion to pay that goodwill forward. On a whim, the mother of three laid out $600 of her own hard-earned money to purchase groceries for 8 people she'd never met. With the pandemic and everything and all the election stuff, I just wanted to bring smiles to people's faces, she told WMUR Channel 9. Having been on the giving and receiving end of the equation, even though she's not wealthy, she learned from her mom's positive example that giving back is its own reward. We've been on both ends of the spectrum, she said. It's not a good feeling when you don't know where you're going to get food for your kids. Her impromptu act of kindness would have gone unremarked, except perhaps by their recipients, had not an observant store employee recorded the good deeds and posted them to social media. She says she plans to continue her random acts of groceries when she can, and hopes that others who see her story will be inspired to do the same.
There you go.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, Kurt?
I like it, Sam.
I think we need more of it. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe we could encourage people to pay it forward, or you know, get involved in rent. What did they say she was on a whim? Maybe we can get more people on a whim, huh, Kurt? Parents finally have daughter after having 14 sons. I guess the boys range from 2 to 28. Now they got a girl, Kurt. Is that 15?
Yeah,
kids?
This is yes, it does sound like that. Jay Schwant and his wife Kateri, they finally welcomed a girl into their family there in Lake Michigan. They say the X chromosomes of their family seem to be very elusive after almost 3 decades. But Maggie Jane was now born to a large, admiring family of mostly men. Even the dog Boomer's a guy, they say. But anyway, so good news. They welcomed a little girl, Sam, after 14 sons.
A lot of kids, Kurt.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I don't think there's any negative in that, Kurt.
Well,
except I'm pro kid and pro life.
The AOC crowd would say, you know, you're just ruining the planet, you know, that kind of thing. But,
well, what if the mom pays for multiple strangers' food and she just pays for the food for those guys?
Good point.
Big bill for her, but you know what? It'd be doing a wondrous, great work.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
All right. I guess premature baby born under 1 pound. Goes home, family says it's a miracle. Let's finish on that good news piece, Kurt.
Very good. This is from the Christian Headlines by way of WorldNet Daily. Harper Rose Schultz, a beautiful baby girl born to two parents, was born 4 months before her due date, weighing in at just 11 ounces, smallest baby to ever be resuscitated. Where she was born 128 days after her birth, the parents were finally able to take her home at a healthy 6 pounds, 10 ounces.
Wow, that's a lot of pounds gained there in the hospital. That's wonderful news. We celebrate pro-life all the time, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty News Radio, LovingLiberty.net, Liberty Roundtable Live, doing the best we can. Spread the word. For Sam and Kurt, God save us all.